Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Alex from ModernHealthMonk.com here, and today we've got a fantastic success story, a case study, Sol Perry. And so welcome, Sol.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Glad to be here, buddy.
So yeah, would you just mind quickly telling us, you know, about yourself, how your weight got to its heaviest, kind of like the story?
Well, the story. Well, I gotta say, it's not something I'm real proud of, man. I'm a professional musician by trade. Now a trainer, a nutritional consultant as well. But at the time, I was just a gigging musician, working in studios, teaching music as well, playing a lot out of clubs. And it happened gradually. It didn't happen overnight, but my weight crept up to about 270, just leading a typical musician lifestyle, staying out really late, getting into trouble, and, you know, just hanging around the wrong crowds, the wrong scenes.
Right.
And over time, and I tried so many times to lose the weight, you know, eating the whole grain bread, drinking the skim milk, all the stuff we're told, jogging. I used to do a lot of jogging. But I did manage to get down to 245, mostly, honestly, just by simply not eating. I wasn't very happy. I was depressed. So I really just didn't eat at all. I basically lived off beef jerky for a good while there, just playing music. Really not a real happy time for me. Then I met my now wife about six years ago or so. And we both put on 50 pounds in that first year. That's when I got up to 300.
Wow.
Yeah, and I got up to a 50-inch waist, unfortunately. And I was bloated, uncomfortable, had dark circles underneath my eyes, was wearing double extra large, triple extra large shirts. And really, although I was obese, I was truly malnourished. I mean, I didn't have really any nutrients going in my body. I mean, for the love of God, my only hydration was Cokes and skim milk, you know, fruit juice. I mean, I never drank water.
Right. So, I mean, around that time, what, like, specifically were you eating, and how active were you? What was your daily life like?
Well, my daily life, I would wake up I went to bed around about when the sun would come up. You know, it was my job. I was playing a lot of gigs at the time. So, I mean, you don't even get off work till 4 in the morning, truly. Right. And then you're going to hang around and try to sober up by eating some bar food or, you know, all kinds of wild stories, I could tell you. But truly, man, I mean, I would go to bed about dawn. I would wake up around 2 or 3, truly right before I had to get to the studio, which was generally around 3 o'clock. I would just wake up, wet my hair, and walk out the door. And on the way to work, I would stop, generally at Burger King, because it was convenient.
Right.
And I would get the chicken fries, I recall, like they called them. I called them the devil. I mean, they would just, at the time, I thought they were delicious, but they were chicken fries. I would get two junior whoppers and a large sweet tea, and that would be like my brunch. And I would do my gig, you know, do the music thing, drinking Cokes, sweet teas. I mean, I remember, you know, it was me and a bunch of other cats in the studio, and it was like a friendly thing, like, hey, guys, I'm going to go next door to this Asian joint that was next door. Anybody want a Coke? You know, and that was a friendly thing. We'd take turns doing that. Excuse me. But in retrospect, I mean, it wasn't exactly a very friendly thing. But yeah, I was doing that, man. And then on the way home from work, even if I didn't have a gig, I would stop at KFC or Popeye's Chicken. I mean, I'm here in the South, so I love fried food. At least I used to. But I would stop and get generally Popeye's or KFC. And we're talking on the reg. I mean, that was my life.
Right.
And I would go to the gym, you know, for a while. I've always worked out since I was very young. I just didn't know what to do. I was, like most folk, I would just parrot what I seen everyone else doing in the gym, which meant for me at the time a lot of bench pressing and treadmilling.
Mm-hmm.
That was my life, man, on a daily basis. That was what I would do. I mean, I was sleeping terribly. It wasn't pretty. I mean, but you know, all of my friends were doing it. The circle I hung in, that was normal. I actually was one of the more fit ones because I did make some sort of effort to work out.
Right.
It did make me pretty strong because the leverages of, you know, I was so heavy. But man, you know, I was, my muscles would cramp up insane if I had to lift something really heavy. I mean, it was, you could tell something, everything was out of whack, man.
Right.
I was just, and you know, truly, I was, wasn't very happy on a daily basis. I mean, I was just not that happy.
Mm-hmm. So what was like the defining moment? What made you decide to get healthy? And, you know, what was the last straw?
Well, a lot of things truly happened, like in a confluence of events. But a big thing that occurred is my mother got lung cancer. Very, very close with my mother. She had me when she was just 14 years old. Let's say we grew up together. She, growing up, her and my grandmother were really the only people in my life that showed me any real compassion or, you know, paid attention to me.
Right.
And tried to give me some sort of guidance. So that really hit me hard when that happened. Also, my baby brother, my only brother, my only sibling, is severely disabled. He was born that way, and also extremely autistic on the extreme end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just kind of had what some people call an epiphany. I never really believed in that stuff, truly, until it happened to me. I'd always talked about getting in amazing shape, you know, like most people, oh, yeah, I'm going to get ripped one day, you know.
Right.
And I did make efforts, but I never fully vested myself in the process. And, you know, here I am. I was about 36 at the time and, you know, had the perfect opportunity to the potential to lead a healthy life, to be fit, to be strong, to be lean. And I was blowing it big time. I just felt like I was my own worst enemy. You know, my mom getting sick really, really woke me up. I mean, I was pretty close to having a nervous breakdown, to be quite honest with you. It was hard on me, but instead of going that route, feeling sorry for myself and being angry at the world, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to educate myself. I started what I call the education process. I just started studying and reading. I took all my time that I was spending studying music, which is an obsession of mine, and I transferred that time to reading about fitness and nutrition. And, you know, that's what I did, man. I mean, other than work, instead of going out to bars all the time, I started reading 8 to 10 hours a day. And I read a stack of books about 25 feet high over the last few years. Some of them, you know, not so good. Some of them really helpful. And, yeah, truly, the credit goes to my mother, man. I mean, I can't say it just was something to come out of nowhere. I mean, her getting sick, it shook me up bad. And I'm glad to say she's still around, a 5-year cancer survivor now. Even though she's in the final stages, she is alive. You know, I got her eating better,
right,
using a lot of the stuff I've learned, and in concert with her doctors as well, of course. So, yeah, man, I mean, I got to say I'm in a much happier place now. My mama's still alive. My brother is still a work in progress. I'm very active in the autistic community and Special Olympics, the American Lung Association. Because, you know, the more you get involved in a community-type setting, be it with fitness, nutrition, or sickness, disease, it makes you feel not alone.
Right.
You have more resources. It's just more of a supportive community.
Right, right. So you said, you know, you have to make this change. How did you actually stay motivated? Because that's, you know, a really tough part for most people. They, you know, you can read books and watch YouTube videos, but the motivation will be fleeting. The inspiration's there just for the day, for the next 5 minutes. So what did you do anything particular to stay motivated?
Well, 100% agree, Alex. I mean, you can read those motivational books, and I think there's some value in that stuff. And like you said, on the internet, there's a lot of resources. But truly, man, that generally doesn't last. For me, what really helped was tracking my progress. Now, by that, I don't mean counting calories. I mean my body. Like just taking measurements. I took pictures day one. I was like, you know what, this is the day.
Right.
And I took the pictures, took the measurements. It was all totally foreign to me. I really didn't know what I was doing. But I'm like, okay, he's out at the park, and you'll be able to, your viewers will be able to see the pictures. It's pretty startling when you see the transformation.
It's amazing, dude. It's, I mean, congratulations, by the way. I mean, it really is amazing. Nothing short of amazing.
Oh, thank you, man. I know it may seem like it happened overnight, but it really took 2 years from the beginning of the end of those photos. But yeah, to answer your question, the progress, man, it's got to be a daily skill you work at, just like learning guitar or learning any new skill set. I found that if you log everything, write it down. And by that, I just mean your mood, you know, the mental state. This is just getting you through the really tough parts. You know, once you reach there, it's a lot easier. I mean, but that journey can be an extreme challenge. I know it was for me because I really didn't have any help. I didn't have any friends, excuse me, that had been there, done that. You know, my friends are a bunch of professional musicians. They're not so much interested in getting real healthy. It was a struggle. I mean, you never really know if something's going to work till you put yourself in it 100%. When things would get really bad, where I felt like it was never going to happen, which those days came. Mm-hmm. I would think of my brother and my mother and know, you know what, this is hard for me, but it's nothing compared to what they're going through. And that would generally snap me out of my funk, and I would just wake up and, hey, it's a new day, man. It's another opportunity to try something and just to try to be a better individual.
Right, right. So I know you were saying, you know, you had some of these negative thoughts in your head. What were some of those, and how did you overcome them? Because, you know, I'm totally on board with you that a lot of it's psychological. I mean, so many people have these scripts over and over. You know, like, I failed before, I'm just going to fail again, so why even try? How did you, you know, what were some of the things in your head, and how did you get over them?
Well, it's true. I mean, I was like most folk, man. I mean, I tried many times throughout my life to get what I would consider an elite type condition, you know, single digit body fat, certain numbers on your key lifts. But it never happened, man. I was jogging, all the common stuff most of us do. And it got me to a point, you know, I was in my 20s, I was in okay shape, but man, for as much work as I was putting into, still couldn't see my abdominals. It was really a challenge. So I had to, the negative thoughts that would enter my mind would be, it just seemed like it was never going to happen some days.
Right.
And now with my clients, I know what that's like. You know, they come in every week and you step on that scale and, you know, the scale is not your friend. I tell them, it's like, don't even weigh yourself, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to cause more cortisol. It's going to cause more belly fat.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, to overcome the negative thoughts, I'll tell you one trick I used with great success. It's really simple. It's kind of silly. But when I would be out with my friends and say they would be, you know, getting hammered or eating some food that wouldn't really necessarily help me reach my goals, and, you know, the peer pressure would kick in, I would simply reach underneath my shirt secretly. No one would even know this. And I would pinch my belly fat, and that would create a feedback loop in my brain. It's like, you know what? You don't want this food as much as you want to reach that goal. And that one simple trick really helped.
That's powerful, yeah. So I know that we were talking before about how you said there were like stages of your weight loss. So there were certain plateaus, like you were above, what was your heaviest again?
300.
300. And then you said you went down to like 240 or 220 or 260, something in between there. How did you get to there? And then what was like that final, you know, that final plateau that brought you down below 200?
Yeah, well, I tried many, many diets, brother. I mean, it's the common dogma you'll hear is that's 80% diet, 20% this or that.
Right.
And that's, I mean, you could make an argument for that, and I get what they're saying, but it's really not that clear cut. It's you got to find what really works for you as an individual. I mean, the diet alone could truly lose a lot of the fat, but you're not going to have that athletic appearance.
Right.
Or you're not going to have a lot of the health benefits. But, man, I tried every diet I could get my hands on, Alex. I tried the anabolic diet, the zone diet, the Mediterranean diet, the bodybuilder-type diet where you eat every 2 or 3 hours, the various forms of intermittent fasting, the paleo, which is all the buzz, low-carb, high-fat, nutrient timing, the South Beach diet, the warrior diet. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I've tried every single diet I could get my hands on, and I mean, I've fully vested myself in it and tried it. And some worked. Some worked better than others. Some were great just for a few months. Like, for example, I remember before I even kind of heard of a low-carb type thing, I didn't even understand that. I was still learning about just, you know, basic nutritional information. But I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start dropping things that people say that you must eat. So the first thing I dropped was milk, something I love dearly. I mean, I was drinking a gallon of milk a day there for a while because growing up, they tell you milk's going to make you big and strong.
Right.
You know, so I was drinking my milk, thought I was doing good from drinking skim milk. So once I cut that out, I mean, I looked at the label and I realized this thing's got like 3 or 4 spoons of sugar in it, you know, one serving. So I dropped it out just to see what would happen. And man, I lost like 20, 30 pounds just in a couple months doing that.
Wow.
Really helped me break through a plateau. I remember there was another moment where I cut out the bread, which was hard for me. I loved the bread. I mean, I was really looking forward to every morning, my oatmeal, my bread. I mean, I was eating a whole lot of carbs at first. Mm. And man, as soon as I cut out the oatmeal, the bread, it really pushed me right about to the 215 mark.
Wow.
I started to see just a hint of my abdominals. And yeah, I mean, truly, the first 80 was a lot easier than the last 20.
Right.
The last 20 was brutal. I mean, it took me a whole another year to lose that last 20 pounds. I mean, I wish I could tell you something more more amazing, but that was the truth. I mean, I was holding on to fat that I had since I was a baby. I mean, that was literal baby fat.
Right, right. So what eventually pushed yourself over that next plateau?
Well, I eventually come up with my own method of eating. I call it the soul food diet, which is a combination of a lot of other protocols, but it's kind of unique in the way that I integrate them all. And man, I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy, but it definitely worked. As soon as I got that together and started formulating it, it really got me to where I wanted to be. I remember hitting 9% body fat for the first time, and I could really see a clear outline of my abs.
Wow.
And that was huge for me. I mean, that was like a lifelong dream.
I mean, that's amazing, especially from 300 pounds.
Oh, man. I mean, I felt like a superhero. I mean, it was hard to explain to come from being such a fat guy and to being feeling, just the feeling. I mean, forget about the looks, the way I felt on a daily basis. I just felt like I just couldn't be stopped. I would get up early in the morning, go to the park and sprint some hills. A little something like training on an empty stomach, for example. That one particular tactic really, really helped me get to single-digit body fat. You know, and it went antithetical to all the stuff I was reading about, oh, my God, if you don't want to do that, you're going to die. You know, your muscles are going to fade away and all this stuff. And, I mean, once I really realized that was total nonsense propagated by the media, it started challenging so many things. I challenged everything. And sometimes it turned out to be, you know what, that's the truth. And most of the time it was not so clear cut. You know,
right.
It's not so black and white. Like they like to make things,
yep.
You know, and it's not like that in the real world.
Right, right. So did you ever count calories, or did you just focus on shifting to eating healthier foods overall, like changing what you were eating?
Well, that is an awesome question, my friend. I never counted calories.
Awesome.
Never did that. I mean, if counting calories worked long term, Weight Watchers would have solved the obesity epidemic a long time ago.
Right, right.
I mean, I know it can work for some short term, but a calorie is not a calorie. It's not the way it works. 200 calories from a Snickers bar is not the same as 200 calories from a bison steak or
right.
a chicken salad. It's not that simple. It's not the way the body works. And that would drive me insane, having to weigh all my food and calculate it. And yeah, you can do that short term to get past the plateau, but I never did that. I made it a goal not to do that because I wanted to find a system that I could be sustainable.
Right.
I was tired of yo-yo dieting. And to me personally, that's not sustainable. I didn't see myself doing that as a great grandpa. You know, hold on, grandpa's got to weigh this chicken breast. You know,
right.
It better be 5 ounces or, oh my God, I'm going to lose my abdominals. I mean,
right,
that just
right.
didn't seem natural to me. So yeah, I cut out the first thing you could do, man, you just cut out the crap. I mean, that's what I recommend most people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cut out the soft drinks, the fast food. It's easier said than done for sure, but it's got to go. I mean, it's going to be less expensive on your pocketbook than hiring a trainer and a nutritionist and all this, but you can save that for later. Once you can generally lose 20 or 30 pounds on your own, just cleaning up your diet a little bit, but then
right.
you're going to plateau. Then you're going to have to look for other resources. But man, I remember cutting out the Cokes alone. I mean, I got terrible Coke headaches for weeks. And eventually those subsided. And man, I just can't believe I used to drink those things, Alex. I mean, that's something I've never drank. I drank one about 2 or 3 years ago. I was at the movies with my mother, And, you know, always go to the movies. You think popcorn and Coke go together.
Yep.
So I had lost much of my weight at this point. So I was like, you know what? Let me have a drink of that Coke, Mom. So I had a drink of that Coke. It literally felt like acid going all the way down my throat.
Wow.
I was just thinking, man, how do people get into this? I mean, if you really take it out of your life and reintroduce it, you're not going to like it.
Right.
It might even make you sick.
Mm. Very, very interesting. So, I mean, what was the hardest part for you, or one of the hardest parts?
Well, for sure, the hardest part was the last 20 pounds.
Mm.
I mean, that was... that was just brutal, man. I mean, it was the frustration too. You know, the whole bodybuilding type diet stopped working for me at around 220-ish. And that wasn't sustainable to me, eating every 2 or 3 hours. And since then, that's been proven as unnecessary. But at the time, it was considered the gospel truth. I mean, it's ironic. I see a lot of these so-called experts who swore that was the only way to be clean and lean and all this nonsense. Now
right.
They've done a total 180. The same people who was arguing with me about it on the internet have now realized, you know, because they simply didn't try anything else.
Yep.
They just like, oh, well, so-and-so taught me this and this worked for me. So this has got to work for everybody. This is the only way to do it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, those last 20 pounds, it's going to be brutal, man. I mean, especially if he's a fat guy like myself, you're going to have fat in strange places like the back of your kneecaps, around your pec area, your armpit, of course, your lower back. And then just finding out who to trust, who to listen to.
Right.
I mean, the steroids are there, which has really confused me for a while, listening to the steroid guys. Obviously, they got what they're doing is it's convoluted because of the drugs.
Right.
But they didn't tell you that. They can't tell you that because it's illegal, generally.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't care who takes steroids. I care because it causes confusion in the fitness and nutrition industry. And now we got another problem with this marketing. I mean, the marketing has been so fine-tuned that there are guys out there with 12-inch arms who are incredible marketers.
Right.
They're just slick writers. They got the cool photos, man. They got the social networking down. I see it all the time. And they have no idea what they're talking about, but it's so well written. It's so slick that your average person, you know, they're going to buy that $29.95 book, The Secret to Abs.
Yep.
I actually seen one the other day. This guy, he's a great writer, but he literally wrote like an 8-point post on how to get stronger. And this guy weighs about 120, 130 pounds.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was just mind-blowing. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. It's like bizarro world. But yeah, that last 20 pounds, man, that is especially, like I say, if it's baby fats. I mean, I deal with it with my clients in real life. I mean, it's hard. I mean, once you've ever been there, like now I get down to about 6 or 7% in the summertime. In the wintertime, I try to put on a little bit of lean mass. So I'm right around 8 or 9. I never go over 10. But it's always easier for me to get back down because I've been there.
Right.
Once you've been to a set point body weight, it's always easier to get there. But you've never been there, and it's gonna be a challenge. You're gonna have to want it more than you've ever wanted anything in your life.
Right. Right. So during this point, did you ever quit or give up?
Never quit. Never gave up. But that said, I mean, I did have setbacks.
Right.
You know, it wasn't fat loss. Oftentimes, in real world scenarios, it's not a linear process.
Right. That's important for people to know.
Yeah. I mean, I tell my clients that all the time. You know, they come in and we do weigh, we take measurements. And, you know, like this week, I had a client come in and he hit below 200 pounds for the first time in his life, which was huge.
That's,
I mean, this guy weighed 300 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, no calorie counting, none of that stuff. Just basic things like upping your water intake, you know, timing of your meals and meal combining, just real fundamental stuff. And he was disappointing when he came in the following week and the scale read like 201. And I was like, look, buddy, I'm gonna show you something. So I measured his body fat. And, you know, he's lost 8% of his body fat in 6 weeks' time. You know,
wow.
That scale is so misleading. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, did I ever quit or give up? No, but, man, to be honest, it seemed like it was never going to happen at times because it took 2 years.
Right.
I mean, people look at those before and after pictures, and I wish I could say, you know, oh yeah, I did this in 30 days or 90 days, and all I did was take this supplement, you know?
Right.
but that's not reality.
That's not how it goes, yeah.
That's not how it goes, man. It took me 2 years. I mean, I tell people, knowing what I know now, I could have done it in about 6 to 8 months because I do it with my clients on a regular basis. But, you know, I've got the system fine-tuned now. But, man, I mean, it was rough. I mean, I really think you have to want it more than you've ever wanted anything in your life. It's just like trying to become a really, really awesome guitar player or a really great architect or anything, whatever your goal is in life. You have to just completely invest yourself in the process. And it almost has to become an obsession. I mean, it depends on how far you want to take it, of course.
Right.
But I mean, it really is not that simple. It was much more difficult for me to understand fitness and nutrition than it was to teach myself music. Because of music, it's you know, this is this, and that it's just that simple. There's right. not opinions.
Right, right. That's the tough part.
Yeah, there's not all the slick marketing. There's not all the misleading guys and girls on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, and that's what really slowed me down. But yeah, fat loss is not a linear process, nor really should it be. I mean, if it's going to be lasting, you're going to have to develop new habits. You're going to have to find things you enjoy to replace the bad ones.
Right. So how did you find the time to do this initially? Because a lot of people, you know, they say they don't have time to do this, and you know, they can't squeeze in however much time per day. What was, you know, how did you find the time?
Well, you're right, man. That is a very common excuse, and that's exactly what it is. It's an excuse.
Mm.
I mean, I understand everybody's busy. Everybody, you know, but we all got the same 24 hours in a day.
Right.
Just matters what you do with them. And I had to do something that I hated to do at the time. I had to get up earlier. You know, that was just that simple. And I despise getting up early. You know, I was a musician. I thought even all through college, all through everything, I never could go to sleep early and I always stayed up late. And I thought, well, this is just the way I am. You know, I'm a night guy. And I was wrong. I mean, you really can't control a lot of very important things in your life, like your sleep schedule, when you're hungry. For example, I mean, your mood, I mean, you know, it takes a lot of practice and time. Things like you speak on a lot, you know, controlling your back pain and shoulder pain, because I was checking out your videos the other day. I mean, that's great stuff. I completely, you have to create a new schedule. So for me, that meant getting up earlier, just an hour earlier. And I would make all my meals for the day. Which sometimes when I was doing the bodybuilding method of eating, yeah, I meant like 6-7 meals, man. You know, I was not used to cooking. I had to teach myself how to cook. There's just no other way around it. You either have to learn how to cook or hire someone to do it for you. There's no other way.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, I interviewed another young girl. Actually, she's from the South as well. She's from South Carolina, and she said, you know, she was a single mother. She had two jobs. She had a long commute. She lost over 100 pounds, and by just, you know, doing 30 minutes a day of you know, exercise, and she learned how to cooked in bulk. I mean, there's infinite options if you're willing to put in the work, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, most people, when I hear that excuse, I don't have time. Well, if you have time to be on Facebook, if you have time to watch your reality television shows, you know, you have time.
Right, right.
Yeah, I see people all day long, spending all day on Facebook. And I like Facebook. It's great to reach people and stay in contact with your friends, and that's great and all. But, man, it can just suck up your whole day before you know it.
Oh, man.
And you didn't get a damn thing done.
Right.
I mean, for me, it was, you know, it was do or die. I'm gonna do this or not. And, you know, now I wake up at 6 a.m. with no alarm. I just wake up. Even if I want to sleep in, I'm waking up. My body is attuned to this. I feel amazing. I don't wake up groggy. I wake up very clear and lucid. My morning is my most productive time. You know, for me, when I started off, Alex, you know, I'm really into the martial arts and Bruce Lee type philosophy. I have been since I was very young. And I figured if I could master my body, it would bring me one step closer to mastering my mind. And I was just tired of being my own worst enemy.
Right. Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, so So once you started seeing all these improvements, did you have any other health problems improve or go away?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the biggest challenges for me was my back pain. I've had very debilitating back pain since I was probably in my early 20s. I'm not 100% sure what caused it. I did a lot of construction work when I was in college. But honestly, I think it was more so the playing guitar 10, 12 hours a day
growing up. Yeah, right.
And hunched over the guitar all the time and standing up on stage all night long. I mean, I played music just literally, it was my whole life. And, you know, I didn't understand basic things like how to stretch properly, foam row, mobility use. I mean, yeah, I did martial arts, but, you know, I didn't have the full picture.
Right.
It's for sure. But yeah, I mean, man, it was just such a challenge for me. It's hard to explain on so many levels, but I always tell people, I mean, I went from eating no vegetables at all. The only vegetable I literally ever had in my life, you can ask my wife, was potatoes and occasionally green beans. And I am not kidding. I mean, that is literally all I ever ate growing up. I thought that was part of being a man, you know, like meat and potatoes, you know, that's man food.
Right.
I used to call salads rabbit food. My wife made fun of me. I had my first salad just like 5 years ago. And now I crave vegetables.
You know? Right.
I juice roots. You know, and my back pain, because of that, has finally subsided. It was about the last thing I healed. I had to heal my gut. I had very bad gut pain, very bad inflammation. I mean, it's a long story, man, but I went to spine specialists, spent a fortune on chiropractors. None of them ever helped me. Some of them, you know, they tried earnestly, but it just didn't really help me. And spent a lot of money and a lot of time and resources. But eventually, once I started eating what some call an anti-inflammatory diet, started taking the right supplements at the right time, you know, whole herbs, essential oils, started doing the soft tissue work, it really started happening for me, and I'm very excited now. I have almost days zero back pain. And I just feel so much better, man, because
that's
anyone
awesome.
That's had back pain, you know, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Your back hurts. It's all bad.
Yep. Unfortunately, I've been there with you. I had like very severe chronic back and neck pain, and, you know, right as soon as I got my first desk job out of college. So that was a very, very long learning curve for me. That's actually why I started the site, mostly for people in pain, but also specifically the health problems of desk workers. So I feel you there. But so how did you, one last like big question, how did you deal with hanging around the people that didn't share your goals? Like you said, you were the musician and you literally flipped your health, like your life 180. You went from staying up late to like, you know, the kind of party atmosphere to waking up early and not at all a party atmosphere. How did you manage to make that happen? Because the social aspect is often just as hard as nutrition for people.
Well, that's true, man. I mean, it was a challenge. I mean, my friends are mostly professional musicians, so healthy eating and living is not high in those circles, to say the least. I mean, great folk, you know, awesome people. But, you know, it's not Americans in general, not just musicians. Mm. I mean, they call it the sad diet for a reason. You know, and hanging out at bars, there's not even access to healthy food.
Right.
If I wanted it, which I didn't want it, you know, I didn't even think about it. But, I mean, you have to just keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep a diary, keep a thankfulness log. I found that really helped me through the process. And you got to realize that your friends like it when you lose a few pounds. But if you do a total 180, you may lose some friends. Folks generally do not like it when you really set out to better yourself. And I was really taken aback by that. I did not expect that. I got a lot of support in the early part of the process. But as I started to really get lean and I got closer to the single digits, some of my very close friends, you know, they acted like something was wrong with me.
Right.
As if I was doing something bad and unhealthy. Used to say, oh, you're addicted to this and, you know, all this nonsense. And, you know, where were they at when I was pouring white Russians down my throat and tequila shots and all night long and doing a whole host of all kind of wild things? I mean, you know, it's very strange. And now I've seen it happen, the same thing to my clients. as they start to lose the weight, people are very supportive. But then when you really, truly start to transform and turn into, you know, where you start to look amazing, you know, just like a true athlete, then all of a sudden your friends start acting like they're going to have a freaking intervention or something.
Right, right.
You know, don't lose anymore. I mean, oh my God, you know, had people come up to me, literally, people who love me and I love them. It doesn't mean they don't love you. They just don't understand what you're trying to accomplish in the process. It's so alien, especially here in the South. I mean, the city I live in, this is one of the fattest places in the world.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, it's normal to be 300-400 pounds here. No one ever once said to me, except for just one gig, that, hey, man, you know, hey, so you're fat. You know, I thought I was just a big guy. But, yeah, I mean, to the people out there, you know, when you go out and the social interactions, it can be done. I mean, I train musicians who travel all over the world playing music, and they can do it on a tour bus.
Right.
You know, you just bring like some Bowflex dumbbells with you. I got a good friend of mine that's on tour with a guy who won the American Idol, a student of mine.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, yeah, he is. Done a total 180. He's like six. He's more ripped than I am. He's 6% body fat.
Wow.
He looks amazing. He's on stage. And I would like to think that in some small way, I'm helped kind of turning the tide on, especially in the music industry.
Right.
You know, being really fit is not exactly the coolest thing in the world. But it can be done. I mean, if this guy is on the road, I mean, obviously the food options are terrible, but he makes it happen. I mean, we set the stage for success. And he follows through. I mean, I say keep your head down, stay focused, keep positive. A positive mood is a force multiplier. And, you know, you're the sum of the six folk you hang around the most. So
powerful, yeah.
Food for thought.
So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. What would be, you know, what would be your last piece of advice for someone who wants to feel healthy, be pain-free, lose weight, start feeling better, but they're so far away from their goal, it seems so unrealistic that seeing someone's transformation or seeing like these silly fitspiration, you know, what do they call those? The, you know what I'm talking about, the fitspiration.
Yeah,
that fitspiration BS. What advice would you give to someone who needs to get started or is, you know, feeling demotivated?
Well, firstly, you got to realize that real lasting change takes work.
Mm.
I mean, that sounds like an obvious statement, but you would be surprised the people. I've had people come to me and sign up for 5 sessions, Alex. And then at the end of the 5 sessions, it's only happened a couple times, but say, you know what? So I thought I would have a bigger transformation. So I trained you 5 times. So you had 5 workouts and you still, you know, they generally lost maybe 10, 20 pounds or lost some inches.
Right.
But a real transformation, it's going to take consistency. It's going to take a consistent work. It's not going to happen in a short term.
Right.
You have to want it more than you've ever wanted anything in your life. I mean, if I can go from staying out all night, eating crap food, weighing 300 pounds and go to 7% body fat with a 30-inch waist, it can be done. I mean, I'm just a regular guy. I've never been fit. No one in my family is lean. No one in my family is muscular, overly athletic. I'm talking about on both sides all the way back. It's just not in my genes.
Right.
It's just the way it is growing up. I mean, I didn't see that. I wasn't exposed to that. So was it easy? No. It's totally worth it, though. I mean, I eat more now than I ever have in my life.
Right.
I mean, I don't weigh anything. I mean, now I've lost my weight, so I can be a little looser. You know, I've created what some call a new set point body weight. Once you get there, it is so much easier to maintain. But to get there, it's going to be a struggle. You have to set a deadline. Really helps. I always set a deadline where every year I was going to go to the beach and I was going to take some new before and after photos. And, you know, I really looked forward to that. When times got tough, I thought about that. I did the pinch the belly trick. I looked at my photos. I kept a big, disgusting fat photo of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would view it on my phone or on my computer and just kind of lock that in my mind. And it may sound kind of almost metaphysical, but I really tried hard to visualize what I wanted my body to look like.
Mm.
And that really, really helped me. And as my body started to change, it literally came to fruition. So yeah, I mean, it sounds very simple, but it's not in execution.
Right.
You can't beat a man that doesn't give up.
Love it. I love it. Well, thanks a lot, Sol. So where can people learn more about you and the Sol Food Diet?
The easiest place to reach me is through my website. It is www.solperry.com, and it's spelled S-O-L-P as in Paul, E-R-R-Y. I'm finishing up the Sol Food Diet book. My goal is to make it as simple to follow as possible. I mean, I think it's more of a challenge to make the complex simple. It's not going to be all science-y written out in that manner. There's plenty of books out there written like that. My goal is to make it very straightforward, take out all the nonsense and marketing, and just give people something that really works. I mean, I'm not saying it's my way or the highway. There's lots of different paths to the same end point, you know?
Right.
Everybody's going to be a little different. But yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about the release of my book. I've already got a publisher. And it's scheduled to be released at the end of this year.
Awesome.
I also got some workout DVDs in the works as well. And my specialty, Alex, I just enjoy working with just everyday people that's never been fit, never even touched a weight in their life.
Right.
I'm not trying to train Olympic athletes. There's plenty of people that are already really good at that. My goal is just to help everyday people and try to be the best version of themselves in a very direct fashion, you know, without all the what I feel is unneeded for most people, you know?
Right, right. Well, awesome, Sol. I really appreciate taking the time, because I know a lot of people have told me that, you know, sometimes what inspired their journey, their own 100-pound weight loss, was listening to other people. So it's really inspirational. So again, I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
All right, and I'm sure we will talk again soon. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye.